The Guardian.
There has been very little action in the 20 years in the interim. But now we've reached a point. The thing that's different now is that we've run out of time. We had better get something done next year or else. Because already by 1992, just 4 years later, we had this framework convention on climate change. And right. The United States was one of the signatories in practically, 170 nations or whatever. It was practically everybody. But it wasn't effective because the failure of the Kyoto Protocol to be truly global, and specifically because of the U.S. not participating.
Which you would pinpoint from the decision by Bush not to sign up to Kyoto.
Yeah, because that's had a big impact because we're sufficiently far past the safe level that we're going to have to draw down the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, and that's still possible by means of improved agricultural and forestry practices, but the amount that you can get that way is limited. We have to stretch our imagination to get 50 ppm out of reforestation and biochar for the soils.
Mm. Why 2009?
You know, because the follow-on to Kyoto has to be decided. You need some time to get the world to come to an agreement, and you've got a new president in the U.S. We have to get on a completely different path, which starts to decrease emissions substantially. The single most critical action is to get a national low-loss electric grid. The technology exists, but the president would have to take an initiative. You have to say, we're going to do this, and it could be done. You could have the trunk lines for a national grid established in less than a decade, and that has to be done if renewables are going to take over.
Right. This is in order to give wind and solar a chance to actually contribute more than, 7 or 8%.
Right.
A tiny part of what's needed.
Right.
When you say low loss, you mean it doesn't lose
the energy
as it's going.
An AC electric grid loses the energy, and more than half the energy is lost before it gets to the appliance. But a DC electric grid, a high voltage DC grid, can be low loss. I mean, eventually maybe you'll have superconductors or something that's even better. But we can't wait for things that don't exist yet.
In 88, you argued that there was a huge gap between public understanding and what scientists...
And there still is.
And right, and you're going to argue that again, and I wanted you to explain to us.
Scientists are reluctant to make very strong statements, and there's some reasons for that, I think, related to the reward system. The reward, the negative reward for crying wolf is immediate.
You talked about the scientists, but you're arguing that in the sort of other realms of, particularly of fossil fuel production, people are actively being dishonest.
So tell me about that. They're misleading the public. And the CEOs, I claim, know what they're doing. You know, you can't blame the individual citizen for not looking at the problem very carefully and understanding the full story. But boy, when you're in that kind of position, that you're CEO of ExxonMobil or Peabody Coal, or the primary players who have been putting out misinformation, even via organizations that affect what gets into textbooks and things like that, then I think that's a crime. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how you do it, but it seems to me that it is indeed a crime against humanity and nature. If they get away with this another decade, then we will definitely be on tipping points. And I think we really, our only really good chance is to get on a different track in the next year or two. So I'll make that statement.
So you're going to stand up in Congress and say CEOs of top fossil fuel companies should be tried for crimes against humanity?
Yeah.
But has that been documented,
That's been documented.
The means in which they've...
Yeah, there are books that documented.
The other grabby thing you're going to be calling for is a carbon tax with dividends.
I think that's really important. We have to change practices. We have to change lifestyle.
It has to be at an individual level.
Yeah, and the way you do that an essential element in that is the price on the carbon emissions. And that is going to, the way it's been proposed in the Senate bill in the U.S. and the way it has been implemented in places like Germany and things, there's going to be a backlash. Consumers are going to be hit by higher taxes, and they won't allow the tax to increase to the level that it must be in order to really impact lifestyles. Therefore, the tax and 100% dividend is the one way that the public would not only accept it, some of them would start being happy as you increase it more. Because
meaning that all the money you raise in tax goes back to the individual taxpayer.
And you want that because you want to have the stimulus there. You want to have the consumers got to have money to buy the new improved technologies with the lower carbon emissions. And so you're putting a lot of money in their hands. This will not be a negligible amount of money. And that'll allow them to insulate their houses or to use newer vehicles and things. So that, and it will be non-regressive. It will, you know, the person who's has a careful budget is going to do a good job of avoiding emissions. So I think that's critical to make it work.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.